نحمده ونصلي على رسوله الكريم. وكذلك جعلناكم أمة وسطا لتكونوا شهداء على الناس ويكون الرسول شهيدا عليكم. وسط literally means balanced, and what is well proportioned then is naturally beautiful. If the one ear is longer than the other and you want to say musaran, complexion is there, height is there, eyes are there, just that one ear is off. Is it on or off? So you want the balanced. The balance, you want it proportioned. فَعَدَلَكْ بِأَيِّ سُورَةٍ مَا شَاءَ رَكَّبَكْ. Kept you in balance. So when it's balanced, the balance brings about the beauty. The aesthetics bring about the beauty. Right? Eyes are not aligned. One is lower than the other. Balance. So this ummah has been declared as the most balanced ummah. Therefore it's the most beautiful of ummahs. جَعَلْنَاكُمْ أُمَّةً وَسَطًا. But then there must be a reason for this ummah being declared as the balanced ummah. So the obvious reason is there is no extremism. Al-jahilu imma mufritun aw mufarritun. The person that doesn't have the proper understanding of deen, you can go to one extreme or the other. Imma mufritun, either he'll overdo it, or mufarritun, he'll underdo it. Mufrit, overdo, and mufarrit, underdo. And overdoing it or underdoing it is not right. So this ummah is well balanced, and therefore it's the best of ummah, khayra ummah. Right. So, there won't be an ummah better than this ummah. There wasn't, and there won't be. Because there was la ummata ba'di, la ummata ba'dakum. And you would have been the last ummah, so there's no ummah after you. But now, what was the reason for Allah Ta'ala choosing you to be the best ummah? Right. The Jews are jealous over you for three reasons. The one reason that they are jealous is the Sayyidul Ayyam was Jum'ah. جُعِلَ السَّبْتُ لِلَّذِينَ اخْتَلَفُوا فِي. But the Sabbath was declared on account of them differing. Because they knew that the chosen day was Friday. But they employed their reasoning and felt that no, the more prudent, the more appropriate day is Saturday. Because Allah Ta'ala completed the whole sequence of creation on Friday and commenced it on Sunday. So then Saturday, everything, there was nothing to do. So let's dedicate that to worship. So they employed their reason and Allah Ta'ala ordained the Sabbath for them. So some things are ordained on account of your personal preference. Right? On the night of Mi'raj, Rasulullah ﷺ was offered wine and milk. And he preferred the milk, right? And Jibreel Islam explained that had you taken the wine, laghawat ummatuk, your ummat would have gone off. But asabta al-fitra, you went on the right path. Fitrah is either deen, either the way of the Anbiya, or either fitrata salima, the sound, your temperament is sound, you see things correctly, understand things in perspective, that's called fitrata salim. Sound, clear, clean, that's called fitrata salim. So, even in that realm, Allah Ta'ala blessed him with making the right choices. So he chose milk, and the ummah also went right after that. Had he chosen wine, the ummah would have gone off. So now, that was the one reason for these people being chosen, for the ummah being envied. They're jealous for that. That the Sayyid al-Ayyam was Friday, and they discussed the whole thing, and they showed the preference for Saturday, so Saturday was ordained for them, became the big day. But then, وَمَا ظَلَمْنَاهُمْ وَلَكِنْ كَانُوا أَنفُسَهُمْ يَظْلِمُونَ. Allah Ta'ala did not wrong them, but they went off. شَدَّدُوا فَشُدِّدَ عَلَيْهِمْ. They went and made tashaddud, and things became hard for them. They were told, now just slaughter one cow, that's all. What color, what it is. شَدَّدُوا فَشُدِّدَ عَلَيْهِمْ. They went and made things hard for themselves, so the hard laws were ordained for them. حَرَّمْنَا كُلَّ زِيْزُهُرْ. Every single hoofed animal was haram. Camel or single hoof, haram. حَرَّمْنَا عَلَيْهِمْ شُحُومَهُمَا. And the fats of animals also were declared haram for them. But ذَلِكَ جَزَيْنَاهُمْ بِمَا كَسَبْ. It was because of their own iniquities. وَمَا ظَلَمْنَا. We hadn't done anything wrong for them. They caused all this problem for themselves. So this was the first reason for them being jealous. The second reason for them being jealous against us is the main home, main house was the Baytullah. Right? And Allah Ta'ala chose Friday for this ummah and chose the Baytullah for this ummah. Now, the batil walks for some time and thereafter it collapses. My one friend comes here now and then. So he's always flying here, there, Dubai, England, and New Zealand, whatever, all that lands he can be there. Still have to discover Zululand. So he's moving all the time. So he tells me that England is like noted to be like the center of Christianity. England, Italy. So he was around in these places. And he thought to himself, the most auspicious of days, according to them, is a Sunday. Right? So let me see the bigger cathedrals, and how are they? So he made a point to go there at prime time. It's locked, no car, no insan ka koi naam o nishan. Can't see any insan, nothing. Everything is dead. Prime time, Christmas, New Year's or Sunday, everything is dead, absolutely dead. So the batil, it moves for some times, and then وَزَهَقَ al-batil, it has to perish. إِنَّ الْبَاطِلَ كَانَ زَهُوكَ. Batil, falsehood, must perish. So it must perish. But this cathedral's main day, prime time, and nobody there. And then now you compare this, see, you get things right, and you do the right comparison. Now you go look at forget the masjids, even the musallas in town, there's no place. People tell you that they put musallas on the street, on the pavement, and the police also can't control them. And they all go into a rage, and the police will be risking his life. For those moments, they're so firm. There's no place. So see the truth. Here there's no place, and yet it's totally deserted. Absolute deserted. And then you see the synagogues, all these things going for sale. There's no members coming in, so they have to sell the thing. So that's the second reason for them being jealous against Islam and against the Muslim. And the third reason, according to the hadith, that they are jealous is we've been blessed with the word Ameen after the prayer, right? Ameen. They adopted it afterwards, but the actual blessing of Ameen was this Ummah. They adopted it into the prayer, right? Without notifying anybody, they just adopted it, right? So this is the third reason why they are so jealous. With all the best things for this best Ummah. Kuntum khayra ummatin. So coming back to the question then, what was the reason for Allah Ta'ala declaring this to be the best of Ummah? There must be a reason. Best of Ummah. So what was the reason? So one is them being totally balanced, absolute balance. So there's no extremism. So you look at the other Ummahs, then they went to one extreme or the other. Mufritun or Mufarritun. Mufritun is to overdo. In simple words, Mufarritun is underdo. So they all went off because of overdoing or underdoing. Right? The Christians overdid it with Isa alayhi salam. They said, Masih ibnullah. Jesus is God. Right? They overdid it. Yes, they were asked to aziru wa tuwaqiru, that they must respect and support the Nabi. That was their command, respect. But respect him according to the parameters that he has shown, not beyond the parameters. Now, these things are being addressed to this Ummah. You do and do things within parameters. Respect, but within parameters, not beyond. So, they went and declared the Nabi of Allah Ta'ala as God. Said Nabi to them, La tutruni kama atratin Nasara Isa ibn Maryam. Don't overdo it, don't exaggerate. They exaggerated and they made him God. Ana Abdullahi wa Rasulu faqulu Abdullahi wa Rasulu. And the servant of Allah Ta'ala is Rasul, need to say that. Don't go beyond that mark. So, what happened there will happen in this Ummah as well. So there'll be those who will exaggerate, even in Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, exaggerate, say, Alimul Ghayb, etc., etc. Knows everything. Now that's shirk fi sifat. So like shirk fi zat is haram and forbidden, then shirk fi sifat also is haram and forbidden. So just say, as I'm teaching you, don't go beyond that. Right? Once it occurred to me, alright, Nabi Sam said, don't go beyond that. And the Mishkat hadith is that you leave out a sunnah, then you'll be replaced with a bidah, and the bidah will never leave you after that. So I was trying to work out now how this pans out, you see. Sometimes you're curious, alright, how it works out. Until Allah Bak shows you something. Then you are clear about Nabi Sam, because then you should say things, you're clear, but you'd like to see something, you know. كيف تحيي الموتى knows that it's going to happen. It's a fact. But how does it happen? So one friend came from somewhere, northern Natal, far from. Now and then he'll come once in 2 years, 3 years, come and meet. So he tells me now, he's married into a bidati family. Now the wrong thing we say is married into a Sunni family. So then what are you then? Then I ask you, Is that not an insult to the word sunnah? Is it an insult? That person is a bidati and you're calling him a sunni. So is it an insult or not? It's an insult on the word. So he came on. He said, now I'm married in this family now. I have to just tag along. So, what are you referring to? He said, no, every now and then they have a function, urus or salami or something, and I have to attend. So I say, what's wrong? What's wrong? Now I want to know. Innocently I want to know, but what's wrong? So he says, the whole night carries on in salami and zikr, all that. And Fajr is jama muzakkar ghaib. Nobody is there for them. See, they went on to this exaggeration. They trespassed. They went over the limit. When they went over the limit, they did this thing here. All right, zikr, etc. is recommendable. But what happened after that is, in the process, they left out a faraz. So now, if you do attend the faraz, then they won't give you an applaud. But if you don't attend one of these ceremonies, then you're outcast. You're like this, you're a Muslim, you're an outcast, you're ostracized. But now, that's the net result of leaving out a sunnah. If you leave out the sunnah, then a bidat comes and replaces it, and many a times you never again blessed with the sunnah again. But you see this. They went off the course. So the Christians went off the course, and a section from this ummah also went off the course. So this is mufrid, and the other is mufarrid. Mufarrid is underdoing it. He's not doing it as he's supposed to be doing it, shortchanging. So what they did now, this one's the Christians, now the Jews, what they did, يقتلون الأنبياء ويقتلون الذين يأمرون بالقسط من الناس. So they went and killed Anbiya, killed people of knowledge, was making Amr bil Ma'ruf, etc. So the hadith says, they killed approximately 20 Anbiya in a single day. And before that, the end of that day, about 80 righteous people, they got up to stop them. They put them away also. So they didn't hesitate, either killing or attempting to assassinate. Nabi Islam, they attempted so many times, poison, etc. Isa al-Islam, they attempted to assassinate him. Right? So anybody came on their way, they put him away. So you don't stand a chance with these people. Right? So, because they can put away Anbiya alayhi salam, then how can you go into a negotiation of peace with them? Can you? يحرفون الكلم, distorting the word of Allah Ta'ala. ينقضون المساق, breaking the pledges. That's like the game, breaking pledges or keeping, not committing himself. That was the game. So these people underdid it, and those overdid it. To change the word of Allah Ta'ala, to assassinate the Anbiya, was a lifestyle. So now there is a case of zina in the Jews. So they couldn't come to a resolution, couldn't come to a solution. They asked Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. So they presented their book before Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. This is our book. Baitul Midras, they went. And so Abdullah bin Salam, he was already an expert in Judaism and accepted Islam. Now, the one that is showing the Torah, he's got his hand on the verse of zina and read from above and below. So Abdullah bin Salam says to him, Itfa yadaka ya adu Allah. Take your hands off. And the ayat of zina was clearly there. So for them to change, distort, hide, yaktumun al-haq, yalbisun al-haq, all that was like a game for them. So, and why? Where this stem from? Because they said, Abna'ullah, we are sons of Allah, favorites. And we, lantamassan al-nar, fire will never get us. Why? Because Allah was favorites. Anbiya's children. Attribution, and we are just going. So that's where, that was a beginning point. That's how they felt. So, mufritun or mufarritun. Now coming back now, why was it that this ummah was selected to be the best? So there must be a reason. Right? Because now, you look at the verse before this, مَا وَلَّاهُمْ أَنْ قِبْلَتِهِمُ الَّتِي كَانُوا عَلَيْهَا. Right? So now, from the Baytul Muqaddas, they are turned to the Baytullah. Right? When they are turned from the Baytul Muqaddas to the Baytullah, so these people raised an objection. What turned them away? They were now on the Baytul Muqaddas, and what made them turn? So they start confusing the minds of people. Inka deen ka koi tikana nahi. ایک دن تو ایک جہت میں نماز پڑھتے ہیں اور دوسرے دن دوسری جہت میں نماز پڑھتے ہیں. ون ڈے دی فیسنگ ون ڈائریکشن اینڈ دی ادر ڈے دی فیسنگ اے نیکسٹ ڈائریکشن. بٹ دے نو دیٹ رسول اللہ صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم از امام القبلتین. دے نو اٹس ان دا بکس از امام القبلتین از دا امام آف بیت المقدس. ہی پرفارم نماز ان دا بیت المقدس اینڈ آل دا انبیاء علیہم السلام ریڈ نماز بہائنڈ نبی صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم ایٹ دا بیت المقدس اینڈ ہی از دا امام آف دا بیت اللہ ایز ویل. سو دے نیو اینڈ دیز آر دا پریڈکشنز بٹ یکتمون دی کنسیلڈ یظہرون واٹ سوٹس دیم دے شو اٹ ادروائز دے کنسیل اٹ. سو ناؤ دا کوشچن از ناؤ واٹ میکس دس امت دا بیسٹ آف دا امت. There must be a reason why Allah Ta'ala made you the best of the Ummah. Right? So the reason was that huwa sammakumul muslimin. You have been given the title of Muslims. By who? Some of us Syrian say it was Allah Ta'ala, and most say it was Ibrahim alayhi salam. So the other Ummahs were also Muslim. Washhad bi anna muslimun. Christians said washhad bi anna muslimun. But the title of Muslim was exclusive to this ummah. But then, why was it exclusive to you? Right? Why was it given to you? So the reason is, there's multiple reasons, but let me share two, three things, right? You'll understand in perspective why this was an exclusive title given to you. So then when this was an exclusive title, then appreciate it and look after it. I spoke about the Friday being the Sayyidul Ayyam, right? The Christians and the Jews had their own mind. So, جُعِلَ السَّبْتُ لِلَّذِينَ اخْتَلَفُوا فِي. Sabbath was ordained, Sunday was given to them, because they knew that the Friday was the chosen day, but they felt that Allah Ta'ala commenced with the process of creation on a Sunday. So let's dedicate that day to prayer. So they employed their reasoning against the word of Allah Ta'ala. And when the Muslims heard about the Friday being the Sayyidul Ayyam, they gave in straight away. So Allah Pak chose this day for us, so we're not going to employ our reasoning against Allah Ta'ala. See that? Now again, look at this title, Sammakum al Muslimin. Why are you chosen to be the best? The verse was revealed in tubdu ma fi anfusikum aw tukhfu yuhasibkum bihi Allah. Right? You're going to conceal or you're going to reveal, Allah Ta'ala will call you to account. Naturally, this brought a lot of concern to the Sahaba Kiram that what we reveal, what we express, that we're in control of, you know, we can say it and we can abstain. We can mention it and we can conceal it within ourselves. But now, even the ayat is saying, in tukhfu ma fi sudurikum, even if you conceal it, then too you'll be called to account. Now this brought a lot of anxiety and worry to the Sahaba Kiram, that even if you conceal, then too you'll be called to account, whereas these type of things are not within our volition. In namaz, wherever your mind flows to, right? Sahaba is so deplorable, so shameful, where your mind will take you, right? You say, hey, in front of Allah Ta'ala, what am I doing? See? Your mind takes you in all directions, takes you. So now, they are worried now that even if you have to conceal something, then too will be called to account. So they express their concerns to Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. That is our concerns, that even if you conceal something in our minds, then too you'll be called to account for this. So Nabi Sam taught them adab. He taught them to say these words, Sami'na wa ata'na ghufranaka rabbana, right? What you must say, we hear and we listen and we ask your forgiveness. That's what you must say. Why? Because look at the first verse in this whole chapter. Lillahi ma fi samawati wa ma fil ard. Everything belongs to him. So he's not answerable. La yus'alu amma yafalun. He is not answerable to anybody. Wahum yus'alun. You are answerable. But he is not answerable to anybody. Is there any authority over Allah Ta'ala that Allah Pak is answerable to? No. He is the highest, he is supreme. So he is not answerable to anybody. So when he is ordained, that if you conceal or you reveal, you want to be called to account. So you can't ask why. You can't ask. Because it's his. The plan is his. The design is his. The whole program is his. So he can do as he pleases. He is not subject to anybody's mashwara and any type of negotiations. Totally independent, Allahu Samad. Ghaniyun anil alamin. He's free of all wants. He doesn't need anybody. So Rabbi Sam taught them adab. And this adab is such an important thing that I was looking at the halat of the mutaqaddimin. See, Imam Malik says that this ummah can't go right until they don't conform to the standards of the former people. لَيْ يُسْلِحَ آخِرُ هَذِ الْأُمَّةِ. They only go right if they conform to the standards of the first people. Now look at one of the first imams, right? Imam Malik rahmatullahi. He is born around 94. Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatullahi is born around 80. He's 94 and he's 80. They're still coming in the first century, right? And many muhaddithin say that qarn refers to the first century. Khairul quruni qarni. They're still coming in the best. Abu Hanifa obviously khairul quruni qarni. The other suggestions also, other opinions. But one opinion is that one qarn is one century. So they're coming around the best times. So then, there can't be anybody that will be better than them. People of later generations, they can't be like them. خَيْرُ الْقُرُونِ قَرْنِي ثُمَّ الَّذِينَ يَلُونَهُمْ. Then they are followed by people after that. So I'm looking at his halat, because he's known as Imamu Daril Hijra, right? He's the Imam. There's nobody like him. So if he's got about 1,000 students by him, then he's only selecting about 200 for hadith and 800 he will learn adab and taqwa. Well, for some time I thought about it. See, you read the statements of the old, then there'll be a sound reasoning, but you may not get the reasoning straight away. But sometimes you don't understand, alright, this was the reasoning. There'll definitely be a reasoning, but I have to think now, what was the reason for putting 800 into adab and taqwa and 200 into hadith? So alhamdulillah, Allah put that answer in my mind. See, when you do the comparisons, then you come to the right conclusion. And you understand night when you see day, right? You see a cloudy day, you appreciate a sunny day, right? Right. You drink something sweet, so you understand what is sweet from something that is bland, isn't it? So, with comparison, you see things in perspective. Someone asked one owl. Now, you know, in India, when they talk of ugly things, they talk about an owl. So the baby owl is asking, you know, ye pari kya chiz hai? A pari in India, in Urdu, they talk of something that's extremely beautiful, you know, out of this world. And the owl is counted as like most ugliest of things. So the child is asking, pari kya chiz hai? Khamosh raho, log mujhe ko kehte hai. Quiet now. Everybody thinks that I am that pari. So anyway, getting back to this, right? Ja'alnakum ummatan wasatan. You look at Imam Malik rahmatullahi, right? He's only selected 200 people. So the rest of them, he put them onto taqwa and adab. Why? They learned that adab and taqwa. Will they have a problem with cell phones? Would you have to be on the cases with cell phones? Would you be on the cases now to see the keeping to adab, putting on the right shoes, then left shoes, coming out of the masjid with the left, coming into the right? Will you have to be on the cases to see how the trousers are and how the kurtas are? Will you have to be on the cases to see how they behave themselves in the classrooms? Will you have to be on the cases to see how they speak to the elders, with a raised tone or a soft tone? Will you have to be on the cases to see how they respect their parents? They learned it very well. They learned it very well, and they knew what it is all about. So when they learned that, now the application became like simple. They understood it, came to terms. But if they were not taught the adab and taqwa, they'll find a reason to justify every impermissible thing. Beard, you can cut it off. So and so says like that. Tasweer is alright. Intermingling with women is permissible, right? Music is alright, right? So every impermissible thing will become permissible. Why? They were not trained into adab and taqwa. Some student of his was Yahya. He says, I studied so long by Imam Malik Hamdali, half the time I studied adab and half the time academic. Another student says, I spent 10 years with Imam Malik Hamdali, 8 years was dedicated to adab and 2 years to the academics. See that? So they had the mizaj of ilm, that very temperament, what ilm requires. They got it already. Right? They need to know the practices. They need to know the theory. Right? They got the practical, and it's deeply sown into the heart. So nobody has to go and teach them, because it's so deeply rooted in the heart. They know now that this is the adab, and you must live with the adab. You mustn't cross the limits, go with the adab. So you don't have to tell them second time. Once finished, adab. So they grounded in adab so well. Yahya Undulusi, rahmatullah alayhi, he's come to learn under Imam Malik, rahmatullah alayhi. Right? And incidentally, on elephant pulling into Medina Munawara, Imam Malik rahmatullah finds out what happened to some of the students. You know, elephant came, Jaal feel. So they all. But you didn't go. I came from Spain, not to watch elephants. I came here to be with you. See, when he learned adab, he knew how to place himself. And the absence of adab, now you learn to justify. You understand how to make things work out for you. This must work out for you, that must work out for you. Everything must work out for you. Otherwise, you are looking at, how must I apply myself in deen? This is haram, this is makruh, makruh tanzih. The sunnah, how must I do it? Right? See, when they learnt it, then otherwise, it will become like this. Almar Salimullah Khan Sahib, he says. So he's from Lohari, right? So one Jamaat came perhaps from Mewat. And he sees an old chacha there. And it's just before namaz time, about half an hour. And the old chacha is going helter-skelter. So he asks the chacha, but why are you so worried? So the chacha says, you know, I lost my miswak. So but your namaz is done still. Even if you do it without miswak, your namaz is done. Are Mulana, that namaz is escalated 70 times with a miswak. I'm going to lose out now. Mulana says, see, we made so much of tahqiq on the academic side, you can write kitabs on that, on miswak, right? What is the literal meaning? How it's supposed to be held? How you commence starting with your miswak, how you end it, how you wash it, what should be the length, what should be the width of it. So we learned all that. But this man had it, and we just had the theory. That was the it struck me that, see, these people here, they going not just for the theory, they're going for the actual practice. So they miles ahead of us. I see them all getting up for tahajjud. Now, the Qiyamul Layl, we can write volumes on that, you know, all the hadith on Qiyamul Layl. But these people have got it in their lives. They're doing it, they're standing up past 2 or 2 o'clock, the standing up, right till tahajjud, they've got it in their lives. And we're still talking about, right, what was it? وَمِنَ اللَّيْلِ فَتَهَجَّدْ بِهِ نَافِلَةً لَكَ. The tahajjud namaz, was it farz for Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, or was it a nafal practice for Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam? We're still discussing that, and this could have got it already in their lives. يَا أَيُّ الْمُزَّمِّلْ قُمِ اللَّيْلَ إِلَّا قَلِيلًا. You can see the Quran alive in this people's life. And we're still discussing the merits of the hadith, what is authentic, what is not authentic, how it must be applied, how it's... So then I understood, but these people are at a different level. See, the important thing in iman is yaqeen. One is the articles of faith, right? But in the articles of faith, what is the more important thing? The more important thing is ma tasilu bihi as-sikhatu. You begin to get the clarity of Allah Ta'ala. You get the certainty of Allah Ta'ala, His presence, and He is watching you, right? You become absolutely clear of that. You become overwhelmed with His presence. Right? And he's talking about iman, you say, Amara kullun amana billahi wa malaikatihi wa kutubihi wa rusuli, right? So that becomes so clear to you that you're doing anything or you're saying anything, then you understand that you are being timed by the kiram and katibin, and they're not writing down. You said something, مَا يَلْفِزُ مِنْ قَوْلٍ إِلَّا لَدَيِّ رَقِيبٌ عَتِيدٌ. They are waiting just to record every action of yours, minor or major. See that? But now, how many of us say things or do things with an absent mind? So the malaik are watching, they're listening to what we are saying, they're writing it, they're immediately recording our deeds, small and bad. How many of us do it with that presence of mind? So do we have that level of yaqeen? Do we have that? So that yaqeen is the actual thing to be obtained. And what we are doing is, we are investing all our energies just on the theory. Just on the theory. So, got a problem again, look up some other kitab. Another problem again, some other kitab. But in the process, have we got that yaqeen? The yaqeen is far greater than just reading a kitab. Reading a kitab, but have you got the level of yaqeen? These are the words of Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. This is the word of Allah Ta'ala. He is dihati. He had the yaqeen on the usage of the miswak and the fazilat. So he was so particular about it. Right? You'll ask, what's the big deal about it? But as knowledgeable as you are, right? As knowledgeable as you are, right? You need to go to Johannesburg, right? And the price of fuel present is about 25 rands. Litre much. See? Huh? 29 rands. Huh? 20 rand, right? But you know that about 10 kilometers away, the same fuel is going for 1 rand. Right? And if you're lucky, they'll give you 2 liters for half, for 50 cents. So, will you take the trouble to go there? So, oh, what's the big deal? Will you have that attitude? But for sawab, so what's the big deal about it? So the yaqeen in the rands, you got it, but the yaqeen in the words that Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, that your rewards are going to be escalated, is it there as it's supposed to be? The yaqeen is not there. There's some problem in the yaqeen. Now instead of reading more and more books, try and ask yourself, how do I build up this yaqeen that I can also become eligible to this reward? Imam Ahmad ibn Hanbal rahmatullahi, you got a student coming in. And so in the old days, they didn't have a communal line of water, etc. Right? So if a guest came in, you show him the water, show him the toilet, etc. So he needs to help himself, or tahajjud, or fajr namaz, he can help himself around. By the morning, he sees that the water was not used. So Imam Ahmad is very disappointed. He says, you are coming here to learn hadith, etc. What an example would you be to the students after you? You're not worried about tahajjud, etc. But you see where the focus was. If you are learning the theory, then apply it as well. Then is that in your heart? If the value was it in your heart, then you would have been a different person altogether. Amr ibn Abi Salama is the adopted son of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, not adopted, but a stepson. Adopted means something else. So Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam married his mother, Umm Salama. Right? And perhaps at the age of 4 or 5, he had come into the house of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, and at meal's time Nabi Sallallahu sat him down. Right. See, with what kindness and love Nabi Sallallahu sat me down, and I was a tifl, kuntu tiflan, wa yadi tatishu fi safha. My hand was going this side, that side, you know, small children now, these children. Ya bunayya, sammillah, wa kul bi yameenik, wa kul bi yameenik, wa kul mimma yaleek. He says, now, fama zalat tilka ti'mati hatta al-yawm. I learned that at the age of 4 and 5, what love Nabi Sam taught me, I maintained that right till now. 40, 50 years have passed, but I didn't change. But see, now you say, what's the big deal? Eating with the right hand, eating, saying Bismillah, or sitting, eating from in front of you. But now, that is because you didn't train yourself in adab and taqwa. As you train yourself in adab and taqwa, then you will be a different person. But you didn't train yourself. So, when you didn't train yourself in that, now, is it an effort in all the madrasas to stop the child from looking at phones? Is it an effort or not? Because they were not taught. So now they look for reasons to show permissibility. Well, yeh ghair ikhtiyari cheez hai. Tasveer aayi jaati hai, tum kya kare? See that? See the distance. See how they look at it. And the student at that time was totally different. He was like this, that when Nabi Sam made one announcement, right? So all the barrels of wine were all busted, broken, finished, class. I was looking at the story of the Sahaba Kiram's response. One person has an order of about 1 billion rands. He's selling important wine, right? He's just coming at Medina Munawara, and he hears the announcement. He destroys all the barrels. The streets of Medina Munawara are flowing with wine, right? But now, you see that if you taught the theoretical, or you taught the theory, then it's supported with the practice as well. Now then, there is some life, there is some enjoyment, there is some happiness, right? You only heard about crunchy. Crunchy, you just crunch it, you just crunch it, that's all. But you never eat it, you never saw it, you never taste it. Do you know what it is all about? So these Sahaba Kiram, maybe some of the words they were not acquainted with, right? How you say, Faraz, Nafal, Makul, etc. But definitely they had all these things in their life. Definitely they had all these things in their life. And the yaqeen was so graphic, you know, so great. He's reading Quran Sharif, perhaps Surah Kaf is reciting, and you can see the lights descending, you can see that. So the yaqeen was at a different level, and what has happened today, unfortunately, is we are not investing in yaqeen. Investing everything else, more kitabs, this kitab here, that kitab, buy from the souk in Egypt, having a fair there, or buy from there, right, very good. But what is the level you have invested into yaqeen? So we're coming back to this verse now, where Rasulullah has taught the Sahaba Kiram adab. See, sami'na wa ata'na, that's the hallmark of this ummah. That when Nabi said something, then sami'na wa ata'na. Then they didn't ask who and why and how, and sami'na wa ata'na. And we know we are insan, we've got some limitations, so we must confess in the words ghufran. We ask for pardon as well. We don't want to make up stories. And that was the style of the Anbiya alayhi salam. And in many cases, you can make up a story. Now today, making up a story became an art. You know, I can make up a story and I can go around my mistake, right? So that's not a sign of excellence. It's a sign of weakness of mind and weakness of yaqeen, right? So what is a sign of perfection then? Nuh alayhi salam, فَكَانَ مِنَ الْمُغْرَقِينَ. His son drowned. When his son drowned, now he's beseeching Allah Ta'ala, إِنَّ بْنِي مِنْ أَهْلِي وَإِنَّ وَعَدَكَ الْحَقِّ وَأَنْتَ أَحْكَمُ الْحَاكِمِينَ. Now that he's drowned now. He's of my own, my blood, this one, my household. Your promise is true, right? That you will save my household. Right? But you're the best to judge. Now look at the dua, look at the response of Allah Ta'ala. Allah says, لَيْسَ مِنْ أَهْلِي. He is not of you. Amalun غير صالح. His works were not right. Behavior is not right. Third, لا تسألني ما ليس لك به علم. Don't ask me of things that you have no knowledge. Don't ask me of things. The wrong things don't ask me. لا تسألني ما ليس لك به علم إني أعيذك أن تكون من الجاهلين. I'm warning you that don't make dua for these type of things. Now look at the response of Nuh al-Islam. What's the immediate response? إني أعوذ بك أن أسألك ما ليس لك. I ask your refuge. That I ask something that I've got no knowledge about, I've got no proof, and I'm asking about these things here. وَإِلَّا تَغْفِرْ. If you don't forgive me, I'll be finished, I'll be gone. Okay. That's the response. That is a desired response. Okay. Now, I don't know how many times in the recent past, they'll ask, one of my daughter is in the university, and she's writing her final exam, please make dua for her. I ask you, is that the right place for the girl to be? All mixed up. They're all mixed up, integrated. They're doing wrong, they're traveling themselves, mixing up with boys, sitting, you know, that group work. They have a group work, like how in the Mutal, you have group work. You also have group work, right? Boy, Mr. Joe, what you say? Mr. So-and-so, what you say? And Miss So-and-so, what you doing? Come close, sit nicely, sit, don't, be relaxed. Heat of five. So all these things happening, right? And the parents know about it. But the yakin on wealth and status is so great that iman, amal, taqwa can all be washed away, but that money must come, the status must come, worldly recognition must come. Iman can go, the imani flavor can go, it can be replaced with shamelessness and indecent behavior, that's all right. And then they want us to make dua for the child being successful. Now I ask you, is it permissible for us to make dua for them? So I make dua for them, may Allah give you tawfiq to leave the university. May you not pass, stay at home and do some home industry. That's the dua I give. Is there any guna in that dua? I ask you. Huh? Any guna? Now you say, kya kahenge, sab kahenge ke molana bohat tashaddud karte hai, bohat, bohat rigid molana hai. So bhai, who's your khuda? Make up your mind. تمہارا خدا کون ہے؟ یا لوگ خدا ہے یا ان کی سوچ آپ کے خدا ہے؟ Are they your gods? Are you throwing the line with them? تو ہمارا سوچ بالکل بگڑ گیا. Now we're coming back to this. So صحابہ کرام, they complied. And that's why Allah is praising them. هو سماكم المسلمين. He is giving you the title, you are Muslims. Because when you hear the command of Allah Ta'ala, Allah says that forget talking to them. وَإِذَا سَأَلْتُمُهُنَّ مَتَعًا فَاسْأَلُوهُنَّ مِنْ وَرَاءِ الْحِجَابِ. If you're asking a woman, then let it be behind a screen. Casual talk is not right, but it's a genuine need, right? Then in a genuine need, then let it be behind a screen. Now people come and ask, Ma, what to do? Hum shopping ke liye jaate hai. You go shopping, right? And وہ کیشیر عورت ہوتی ہے اور ہمیں دیکھ کر کے پوچھتی ہے, she asks us, how do you do, مولانا? Now what must we do? If we don't look at her, then they say you're so rude and you're so impolite, right? And if you look at her, then you say, but ma, you look so sweet, man. Now you see how you're in a fix. What do you do then? Bhai, I tell them, bhai, you got the check at 60? You just go to the checkers, they'll do all the shopping. Otherwise, you are some amfan. Let the amfan do all the shopping. You come and bring everything. Maybe you don't get the best things, right? But definitely your iman and your taqwa will be preserved. That they won't start with the amfan. Amfan is called the overall. And he's doing the shopping. They'll ask you how you are and how sweet you are. They'll ask for that. They must take a chance with you. And are you falling for that? You're falling for that. See that? So, is that iman and yakin, does it have a place in your heart? Oh, now everything must make it permissible. Don't be a rigid molana, don't make tashaddud. Now, if you don't go to a hall, then you make it too much of tashaddud. But you are on the camera, listening to music, mixing with girls, and you're a very cool, nice molana. Tomorrow, let him be sitting with your wife. And say, now, then you are very cool and very, very relaxed. Someone else's daughter, and someone else's sister and mother, it's all right, but not my sister and my daughter. But you see, they want all a mix-up Islam. Not a clear, pure Islam, undiluted. They want a diluted form. That's why I say, see, get the articles of faith right. Amana billahi wa malaikati wa kutubi wa rusuli wa yawmil akhir. Day of Qiyamah. Day of Qiyamah, how will it work out? So I was watching about five places in the Quran, more than five. You will be sorted outward. Hadha yawmul fasl. Inna yawmul fasl. Umtazul yawm. Then either nufus or zuwijat. Then Allah Pak is grouping you, right? You were a tahajjud guzar, come to side. You were not free of woman. You were very, very clean and pure, one side. And you were a kafir on one side. And you were a mix-up. Kafir, Musliman, all, everything was going. So you go with the mix-up. Hadha yawmul fasl. This is the day of sorting out. And you'll be sorted out according to your values and your deeds. What were your deeds? What were your values? And you sorted out accordingly. A famous story we hear often, right? That person just recognized the Christian practice of not making ghusl. What happened to the person? What happened to the person? We hear this so many times, we hear it, right? What happened? So that day, what you've been concealing in your mind, that will surface. And Allah says, now you group yourself with these people that are mixed up. Mixed up this side, balancing this way, that way. Where you're supposed to keep the balance, you didn't keep the balance. And where you're not supposed to keep the balance, there you kept the balance. You see? Between kafir, Musliman, tolerance, and all these words you used, just tolerate them. Right? So where you're not supposed to be keeping the balance, you kept the balance. Where you're supposed to be balancing, you didn't balance. So the balance in this whole thing I showed about Christianity and Judaism, right? One is Ifrat, one is Tafrit. So the balance is this, that one group, right, it just went after Rijal, right? So just look at the personality, follow him, believe him, trust him, carry on. So they took him to divinity, right? And the other one say, leave the man, just follow the book, right? So he went on to another extreme. So Islam is showing you the path of balance. That you study the book of Allah Ta'ala and learn it from the Rijalullah. Kitabullah from the Rijalullah. See? You look at the book of Allah Ta'ala and you learn it from the Rijalullah. So then it will be clear, right? But you look at the book of Allah Ta'ala on your own. Make up your own mind. Then you are like either a Christian or the Jew. One of the two. So then you cut corners here, make a plan this side here, make a plan that side. Then your whole deen is balancing on a plan. Then it's not sami'na wa ata'na wa furanaka. It's not aslamna, that we surrendering, we submitting ourselves. There's no submission. Then if on the day of Qiyamah, Allah says, well, you were not prepared to submit yourself, so move out. Tazul yom. Phir tumhara kya ho jayega? But you showed Allah Ta'ala, me, I will submit myself to you only. Come what may afterwards. People like it or they don't like it. But my submission is to you alone. Come on, it's difficult, not difficult, but I submit myself completely, wholeheartedly to you. So Allah Pak is grouping you accordingly. Now when this verse was revealed, after that, then came the relaxation. Then Allah Pak says, La yukal, see when they listen to Nabi Sampa. So see, look in sequence. First they complain, right? When they complain, then Nabi Sampa taught them adab, right? Sami'na wa ata'na. Right? When they showed that adab, then Allah Ta'ala relaxed the law and said, La yukallifullahu nafsan illa wus'aha. Okay, Allah Ta'ala will not burden anybody but according to what he can manage. See, how much you can manage, so much will Allah Ta'ala burden you. So he knows that those thoughts that are running past your mind, you can't control them, right? You try to stop one, another one came. Try to stop the second one, the third one came. Right? So all type of funny thoughts will be running through the mind, and that's out of your control. It's out of your control, so Allah says, see, all these things here, I muffed class. La yukallifu Allahu nafsan illa wus'aha. Only what you can manage, that's the extent of my obligation, not beyond that. Are we talking of this ummat? Ummatan wasatan. They are the chosen, they are the best of the ummats. Why? Because they are balanced. They are going on any side of extremism, not this side, not that side, right? Balance Ummah. And the balance is the reason for their perfection, is the reason for their preference, is the reason for them to be the best. So on the day of Qiyamah, how it will work out, that the Anbiya are called up, Maza Ujibtum, what response you received, you conveyed the message, and what response do you receive? So the Anbiya will say whatever they deliver the message of Allah Ta'ala. And their ummatis will say, no, no, they didn't deliver the message. See that? So you see that in the court of Allah Ta'ala, the claimant and the person that is refusing, right? He is the claimant and he is now disputing it. So the Anbiya are saying that we conveyed the message, and they are disputing it that they didn't convey the message. Now, can you see that? The claimant and this one is disputing it. So this ummah is called to be the crown witness in the sight of Allah Ta'ala. Ja'alnakum ummatan wasatan litakunu shuhada 'alan nas. You will be called up to be the crown witness that you support the Anbiya alayhi salam against their people. See that? Litakunu shuhada 'alan nas. So you'll be excellent if you are Muslim. And you are Muslim when you submit yourself, not you working around and looking for an escape route. What? You're looking around for an escape route. Well, Umar Diyan was once asked, what is istiqamah? To be straight. Allah wants you to be straight. And you want the malaika to be with you in this life, at the time that you're leaving the world, in the qabr, in the hereafter, they must support you, they must look after you, right? So how can you get that the malaika are with you? In this world they're supporting you, in this world they're encouraging you, as you're leaving the world they're encouraging you, as you're in the grave they're supporting you, as you are raised up from the qabr, they're supporting you, they're complimenting you. Salamun qawlan min rabbir rahim. So that's istiqamah. But then what is istiqamah then? Istiqamah, he says, أن تقوم على الأمر والنهي. Remain firm. Don't go in circles. Go firm. ولا تروه روغان الثعالب. And don't be like a fox. It's a fox, isn't it? Don't be like a fox. What the fox does, it looks for ways. Now you put a fence, so it look for a way how to dig a furrow and get a sheep or something. Get a lamb. That's what it look like. So everything is sealed up. But so what the fox will do? The fox will not tear that, it won't break it openly, but it will try to maneuver and get into the thing, come out, right? Sneak out of it. So don't look for plans to sneak out of the barriers and the limits of another, just take it straight. Otherwise, now you look for a loophole to sneak out, second person is looking for another loophole, then the whole religion will become just loopholes. Make a plan for me, make a plan for me. It won't be a deen then. It'll just make a plan. Plan you can do. The government law you can do, right? But in the law of Allah, you can't. He's watching you. You are saying this words here. Amana billahi wa malaikati wa kutubihi wa rusuli. So you are declaring the articles of faith. But is the article of faith deeply sunken into your mind, into your heart? Or is just there surfacing? So you see, what was the reason for declaring you as the جَعَلْنَاكُمْ أُمَّةً وَسَطًا لِتَكُونُوا شُهَدَاءَ عَلَى النَّاسِ وَيَكُونَ الرَّسُولُ عَلَيْكُمْ شَهِيدًا. And then after everything is over, then Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam will bear testimony in your favor. And you see now, what's your martaba, what's your maqam, what's your position? So if that's your position, then I ask you, are you supposed to be respecting that position, appreciating it, and stand on the lines of this? Stand on that lines, or then moving away from that line? He has made you the crown witness, and Rasulullah will bear witness supporting you. So must you lose that out, go in circles, and lose yourself and lose people, or you should go on that line, so that on the day of Qiyamah, right, we are selected to be the class, Aza Yomul Fasl, امتاز اليوم ايها المجرمون, a class that stood with Allah Ta'ala, for Allah Ta'ala at all times. This morning I was doing that verse, you know, the Quran Sharif, Azani la yantahu illa zaniyatan aw mushrika. Let's end up with this. So I just explained that Islam promotes and strongly commands purity and chastity before marriage, during marriage, and after the dissolution of marriage. Before marriage, during marriage, and after marriage, dissolution or death. But Islam commands that, right? So now, what does it mean? Zani la yankihu illa zaniyatan aw mushrika, right? So Islam is maintaining chastity to such a level, right? Such a level is maintaining the chastity and purity and self-respect, that people that have broken away from the lines of chastity, then Allah Pak says that you should not be getting mixed up with them. See, they broke away from the lines of chastity, right? Right. So you can't be aligning yourself with such women in marriage, whatever. But those women or those men who have broken away from the lines of chastity, then you can't be getting into that circle. They've gone into a different circle. They've gone to a different grouping, right? They are mixing freely, talking, flirting with each other, becoming intimate, etc. So this Muslim who's chaste, who's pure, he can't be interacting with this type of people that are free. They don't have those scruples. They don't have that purity in their heart. You're not supposed to be with them. Not supposed to be marrying them. Hurrima zalika, this type of behavior is not right. Because how they're thinking, how their mind works, their minds work like this. See, a zani, how his mind works. His mind works that we are looking for some temporary and immediate gratification. What are we looking for? Immediate gratification. So, in order to gratify ourselves immediately, then if we have to make the marriage, we'll do the marriage. If it is now, and we can't get through unless we do marriage, then we'll do that marriage. So marriage is just used as a convenience, not as a lifestyle. But we are saying marriage is a lifestyle, is not a thing of convenience. And they say no, it's an instant gratification, let it happen. So long as it is consensual, this is how they use it, right? Big words, zina, but to justify that haram and that filth with big words. It doesn't justify, it's wrong, it's wrong. Haram is haram. Suraj is suraj. You can't justify that. Right. So we are saying by marriage, right, a Muslim is supposed to be pure. Before marriage, during marriage, and post marriage. And they're saying, you know, if it's consensual, it's alright. So now you're interested in the girl, so now see how they work, how the Western mind works. No, so you should go out, talk with them, get to know the girl, etc., etc., have some time, and thereafter you find yourself to be totally compatible, then you get yourself committed to marriage. But now, in the process, what they're missing out, in the process you find something not consistent, right? I used her, did whatever you did, right? Now you say, we're not compatible, and you moved your ways. Now, other people get to know that you've been moving with this girl. She will explain, or you will explain to your friends that I've been moving with this girl. Now, when it comes to marriage, they say, we don't want a used product, we want a brand new one. We want a brand new product, we don't want a used demo. We don't want that. We want something brand new, right? We don't want a demo model, we want a brand new, right? Don't people say that, right? But you went and used her. When you went and used her, that was nothing. But now for yourself, you want a brand new. Is it working out? So, al-khabisatu lil-khabisin. You are filthy, then you'll get locked up with a filthy girl. You are pure, then Allah Ta'ala will let your heart incline towards, right? So, the way of Rasulullah, there is no substitute, right? Don't put up your own structures against the style of Rasulullah. So the way of Rasulullah is so pure, it's clean like this. You're interested in that girl, right? You heard about her, so you're interested. You saw her once, and you seem to be interested, right? So then you do the homework. Do the investigation. Is that the right girl? the mother, your elders find out, that, is this the right girl, she'll fit into the family, my son's life, etc. You did the homework. Now, once you're confirmed that you're compatible, right, they did the homework, then there is no, absolutely no reason to delay. Compatible, both sides are in agreement. Is there any reason now to delay? If they are delaying the process, their hearts are already together. You find the compatibility. They know that we are interested, right? You're delaying the process. So if they committed a wrong with anything of any type of premarital, they are sinful, and their parents are also equal sinful. مَنْ سَنَّ سُنَّةً سَيِّئَةً فَلَهُ بِذْرُهَا وَبِذْرُ مَنْ عَمِلَ عَلَيْهَا. You started it off, parents, they are sinful, the children are also being sinful. So what's the good? So marriage, understand marriage, is not a thing of glamour and show. What we made a nikah into, a glamour and show. Oh, this day, that hall, and that must be the deco, and this how it must work out, right? So we made into a glamorous thing. In the process, the children went and did haram, right? They went and experimented themselves, right? Did a lot of haram they did. And you made it just a glamorous show. So was it a show or was it a sunnah? Was it a show or was it a sunnah? It's not got nothing to do with sunnah, it's just a show. But now to shape your, to save your face, make it a glamorous thing. Right? And then let the children get involved in haram. Eventually get them into marriage, right? But I say, is that a sensible thing? The sensible thing is, be interested, we did the homework, we know there's a compatibility for the understanding. Now, what's the need to delay the whole process? You got the house now, the house is right, everything. Now, what's the need to delay the process, right? Now, get in, go and stay there. No, someone must come, cut the ribbon, have a grand show, and then we'll go into the, by leave the show business, leave the glamour and glitter. Then you'll get in the akhirat. But here, practicality, you're interested in each other, don't delay the process, don't get into haram, and don't allow these youngsters to get into the haram. Because you know, they are young, they're hot-blooded, and they can't resist the temptation. They must get involved in some haram. And you'll be supporting them doing this haram, so you equally gunega. See the beauty of the sunnah against Westernism. Allah Bak Tawfiq.